The Albanese government is tweaking the design of home care packages right now for older Australians. What do older people want to see come out of that? If you're on a home care package or you're on the wait list for one, tell us about your experience. Are you getting the level of care that you need? Craig Gear is the CEO of the Older Persons Advocacy Network, known as OPAN, and he started his career as a nurse, so he's got a lot of insights into different aspects of care for older Australians. Craig, welcome to Life Matters.
Good morning.
Now, in 2021, after the Royal Commission, the federal government of the time promised 80,000 more home care packages over 2 years. Have they arrived?
Yes, I think that's the really good news in this is that, like, when I started in this role in about 2018, I think there was around about 97,000 home care packages. The available packages now have been, and the Albanese government as well has put in more money into home care packages, so that we're around about 237,000 packages now. And so that's a really good result to mean that there's more money in the system. We also need the workers and the and people to be able to access those home care packages in a timely manner as well.
Well, exactly. And we'll talk a little more in detail soon about staff shortages and access issues. But what is the waiting time now? I mean, you said it's gone up to 237,000 packages available. Is that meeting all the need?
We're still seeing some people that are having to wait for the right level of package, and some people are waiting between 3 and 6 months. That's, I suppose, the latest data that's come out of the government. And it changes, I suppose, a little bit about where you live and the availability of from the service provider as well. So we would like to see that really come down, and other consumer groups like CODA as well want to see that below 4 weeks, that if you get assessed for needs, you obviously need those services to start when you need them. And so we want to see that to be under 4 weeks. And we've still got a little bit way to go. They've improved. Some people had been waiting up to 9-12 months. So we're down to between 3 and 6 months in some places. Some people are getting at least some starts of support straight away, which is really good to hear.
Yeah, indeed. Craig, for people who aren't familiar, how do you go about getting a home care package? And maybe if you could explain a bit more about those different levels of need.
Yeah. So I suppose for people wanting support at home, and it might be that you actually think, look, it's just harder to get around. I might need some help with the cleaning or with the gardening and those sorts of things. And so what you do is you go to My Aged Care, either on the website or you can call them on their number, and you have a chat to them about what is it, the sorts of supports that you need. And they step you through and do, I suppose, a bit of an assessment, and then an assessment team comes out and sees you or talks to you over the phone, and they'll work with you to decide what's the best supports you need. So there's some entry-level supports that help you to stay at home, and then these packages, which at the moment the packages are structured from what's called a level one up to a level four, and that's really about the amount of money that you receive, and that equates obviously to then the hours of support that you get, and that's based on that assessed need. So I think people, just the best thing to do is get onto My Aged Care and start the process, and people will then step you through what's needed to get you on the right level of support.
And is all that in addition to the pension? Are there means tests and other things you need to take into account?
Look, the packages will take into account whether someone's on a pension, and there'll be low cost. There are a couple of the different types of packages where you might be asked to make a co-payment as well. But for those on the pension and those on with financial hardship, there are mechanisms to not have to pay those co-contributions as well. So the best thing, I suppose, is to either go onto our website at opan.org.au or to go to My Aged Care and go through those sorts of the questions there and have a look at your individual circumstances. But the pension's a really good way that they'll look at and minimise the co-payments that are needed on that as well.
We're speaking with Craig Gear, who's the CEO of OPAN, the Older Persons Advocacy Network, and really keen to hear from you too, how the current system of home care packages is working for you. Did you have to wait a long time? Did you were you able to find the providers that you need and get the services that you need? And and how are you feeling about the changes that are being rolled out to the way that funding is administered and used? Text here, my mother is now in aged care because she was assessed at level 3, not 4, which did not provide sufficient support. Love to hear about your experiences too. Craig, just quickly, we should kind of ask why it's so important for older people to be able to access in-home care. What do older people say to you about what they want?
Yeah, I suppose that person who texted in is exact example. People tell us that they want to stay in their home. There's a thing called the Charter of Aged Care Rights. And under the Charter of Aged Care Rights, the right number 9 is older people have the right to their independence. And that's one of the biggest things that resonate with older people that they tell us. And part of that is staying in your own home and having the supports to stay there safely, be able to still connect with your community, to be able to live your life. And that's the thing with people, there's some really good residential aged care providers out there. We're not taking away from that. But at the same time, older people are saying, I prefer to stay in my home. I prefer to have the care and support come to me. And that's why we're really keen that this home care system is based on need, is like the provider, the person who texted before, it actually is delivered to the right level of care in the right place at the right time that people need.
And from an overall economic point of view, is it cheaper from a public funding perspective to have people stay in their home or to go into residential aged care?
Absolutely. So it's better for the person themselves. They feel more in charge of their life. They've got that autonomy. They've got choice and control. But from the cost of the system as well, it is a lower cost. Now, we actually want to see that the home care packages are at the right level to meet those needs. We're hoping that will come in the new reforms. But it is absolutely more cost efficient for someone to be in their own home and have the care come to them.
Craig, a text message came in. I've been waiting since mid last year after being assessed for a home care package. I'm a bit concerned that NDIS services their clients with more services and a broader range with no wait times. It seems a bit unbalanced. I am actually hearing that there are wait times at various pockets of the NDIS. Yeah. I don't think that's across the board. So, I mean, as you've been saying, Craig, there are issues for some people having to wait. I wondered too, just looking at how things are now, are there other issues with how that money has been used that's prompted the Albanese government to make some of these changes that are being rolled out now?
Yeah, so older people had been telling us that the guidelines, I suppose, and the aged care providers as well, the home care providers, were saying that some of the what's called the inclusions and exclusions was confusing. And so some people had gone to a provider, one provider would say no, they changed provider, and the other provider would say, yes, you can have that. And so we'd been asking for greater clarification. In doing that, I suppose the government has decided of where some of those boundaries of what is a normal cost of living versus something that should come out of the home care package. Their view is that there's certain costs that people would meet in their everyday and that the package is there to be there to support someone to stay safe and well in their home. Now, we absolutely think that there's some grey areas there, that there's some things that may be excluded that people could call our advocates and have a chat to them about, because there are some things that actually do keep people really well in their home and keep them safe, but they might be a provider, I suppose, on the balance of it, might be saying that they don't think it is at the first. And that's where our aged care advocates, who are free and independent of the provider, can come in and support someone. What's really important is that we have a conversation with the provider about the individual needs of that person. We want the home care packages to be at the choice and control of an older person. It's called consumer-directed care, and that's really important for someone to stay in control of their life. So,
Sometimes you hear stories about people using the funding to do things like get their pool cleaned, and then the counter argument is, well, the pool helps keep me healthy and it's good for my joint mobility and things like that. Is it sometimes hard to make those assessments about what is specifically related to being an older person who has needs related to aging and something that, you know, you should probably pay for yourself?
It is. And I think that's where sitting down with an aged care advocate, having the conversation, sometimes we can talk to the provider about how those unique needs of that individual need to be supported. But there are times where for the, I suppose, the sustainability of the system or the boundaries people, the providers and the government are saying that's where the line is. There are circumstances like that where there's some really reasonable understanding of why that person needs those things. We could also talk to people about, are there other programs out there that might support some of those needs, such as like the cost of living around electricity and those sorts of things, which there are state government funding support. Not great. We all know that people, and particularly older people, are under pressure of cost of living at the moment. And there's no taking away from that. It's working out what sits within the aged care package, what else is available as well. So, but people want to keep well. We want people, older people, to stay fit and well, visibly engaged in their community and living at home.
So many texts coming in as we're speaking here with Craig Gear, the CEO of OPAN, the Older Persons Advocacy Network. There's a problem with home care packages for people on part pension, says one. It's structured so you have to use your proportion first and fees are charged on your money. It's cheaper to go to the open market. Unfair. Another says, I care for my 88-year-old dad with vascular dementia. Level 4 home care package. Epic fail for those who need support, but fabulous for the agencies getting half package for administration. Warren in New South Wales says, my mum lives in Brisbane and was assessed by an excellent team. Unfortunately, she has to wait 6 months for a cleaner and probably 12 months for gardening. I live 7 hours drive away, so helping is a bit tricky. It would be great to have more staff on the providers so these waiting times could come down. And Craig, I mean, the Royal Commission made recommendations about raising wages as a way to get more staff into the industry. Is it, have we seen any shift on that?
Absolutely. So the Fair Work Commission decided that absolutely our workers in aged care are highly valued, highly skilled and need to be paid more. And they've decided that a 15% wage increase from the 1st of July, that does start to, I suppose, recognise the value of our aged care workforce, but we need to bring more people in with the right skills, the right approach to connecting with older people. Yes, some of this is related to workforce, but we want to see those wait times come down. We don't want people to have to wait that long for services. We're hoping that under the new reforms, that some of that will be dealt with as well.
And we'll get into the nuts and bolts of that. I do want to hear, though, from someone on a home care package first. Leslie Forster is in Brookhampton in Western Australia. She's been on a package for about 4 years, which she self-manages. And she's also a member of the Older Persons Reference Group at OPAN. She runs a Facebook group which assists people with aged care at home. It has about 1,500 members. Leslie, welcome to you.
Good morning.
Now, Thank you. Oh, it's great to have you here. You went on to a level 4 package about 4 years ago and you moved later to self-managing that package. How does that work for you, self-managing?
Self-managing works a lot better for me. I found that in a managed package where the provider decides who comes to my home, when they come, works out the rosters, that I didn't have a lot of control over how my package worked and how my life ran. So with self-management, I receive more support hours because I'm not paying as much for management fees and I can directly instruct support workers what to do. And I make my own decisions about who I employ to do the work. I negotiate payment with them, which is at a much higher rate than the providers can pay. And we form a relationship that's a lasting relationship. In fact, I've had my carers for quite a long time and we feel more like friends than people coming to support me.
Well, that's great to hear that you're not being affected so much by the staff shortages, Leslie. What about the overall level of funds once you've paid out all the providers? What's the feeling about whether those funds are sufficient from your Facebook group members?
They are sufficient in some ways, depending on what sort of support you need. Because of the new guidelines, or not really new guidelines, the revised guidelines have made it very difficult to get the things that people really need and want. Home care is more than just getting your house cleaned and your lawn mowed. It's about looking after your well-being, making sure that you're involved in the community. And so many things have been taken away from people with the revision to the guidelines, because the providers are concerned that they will get into trouble if they agree to things that previously were allowed.
Oh, what kinds of things, Leslie?
Tightened up on.
What kinds of things are you missing out on now?
Well, things like pest control, which is really important, carpet cleaning, it's not allowed anymore, apparently. A lot of this is subject to the particular provider's interpretation of the guidelines. Air conditioned servicing, there's a lot of pathogens in air conditioning, and that does need to be serviced. And I think that when people make the rules, they're on high incomes, and they don't realise that $20, $30, $50 is a fortune to somebody on a full pension who has no way of finding that money. And so, for example, the air conditioner goes unserviced, and that can cause some problems further down the track. Things like helping with caring for pets or crafting an art cast, gas maintenance servicing are all now considered general household costs, and it's causing a great deal of anxiety throughout the community that these things won't happen and they'll take people out of their homes because their mental health will be affected by the concern that they can't have these things.
Yeah, it's mental and physical go together, don't they, Leslie? So the,
I think that's been forgotten, yes.
Yeah, that's the new guidelines that the Albanese government sent out. The new system that's going to be the umbrella for home care packages called Support at Home is coming out next year. What would you like to see in that, Leslie?
I would like to see empathy and not sympathy. So an understanding of how things should work for people to keep them in their home and to feel valued and connected as everyone does. So making sure that the program is individualised. As the Royal Commission said, it should be focused on the recipient, not the provider's needs or the particularly the government's needs, I suppose, just to give people a true dignity of risk, some choice as much as possible in their life. And allowing people to spend a actually very small amount of funds on a home care package in a way that works for them, with consultation, of course, to set up a care plan that is appropriate, fits the guidelines. We don't want things to be too rigid, but they can't be too open either, and we recognise that. But
yes,
just
indeed.
A way of keeping some dignity, respect and control over our own lives.
Yeah, those are important things. Leslie, thanks so much for your time today.
No problem.
Leslie Forster from Brookhampton in Western Australia. She's been on a package for about 4 years. Craig Gear, CEO of the Older Persons Advocacy Network. Quite a few things to tackle in Leslie's discussion there. The new guidelines that came out, they're part of a broader change to home care packages that the new government's put in. It's going to be called the Support at Home program, and it's going to be rolled out next year. What are some of the ways things are changing? We heard about changes to what you can and can't spend money on. Are they justified given some of the issues that we were seeing?
Some of the challenges and some of the clarifications are right, but I think what Leslie talks about there, and it's so important that we listen to people like Leslie, not just listen, but enact change in line with what older people want and need. But as Leslie talked about, she's the expert in her life there. She knows what's needed and she knows who she wants in her life and what relationships she wants. And that's what we want home care to foster. So we're really championing with the government that we need to maintain self-management as a function within home care with appropriate care planning and oversight. Absolutely, we need to meet these packages actually meeting people's care needs. But as Leslie also talked about, there's a broadness of people's needs and they need to be individualised. We need to sit with people and actually say, what's your wishes and preferences? How's that going to work? So while we need clarity in the guidelines, we do need some level of understanding that people live individual lives. We need to build that around. One of the really good things that they're trialling at the moment with the new Support at Home program is a needs-based assessment tool, not just something that's based on an algorithm, but something that actually looks at what the person's needs are, and then it helps design the care around that. So they're the aspects that older people are saying that they want. They want also the goods, equipment and technologies that are going to keep them safe in their home. And that's a separate package of money that's coming as part of a package, but part of that assessment as well. They're the really positive things that we want to see. But we also want to see that older people can direct the care that they need as well.
Well, it's interesting to read that some local councils are saying they're having to get out of in-home aged care ahead of the changes because the new model doesn't use block funding, so they can't plan ahead and keep their staff permanent. It's much more kind of bitsy and contingent. Is that going to serve older Australians ultimately?
We absolutely need to keep an eye on that. We saw some of the challenges with the implementation of the NDIS around really good providers who, because of the pathway of their business model or that they're used to getting the money in advance, they found that quite challenging. So I suppose we're calling on providers to plan ahead for this change. There are really good home care providers out there who are financially viable, who understand this sort of model, but we need them to be, I suppose, teaching others, because we don't want to see locations like some of your text people calling in and texting are saying there's pockets where the care is just not there at the moment. And we absolutely want to see that there's equitable access right across Australia.
Well, and equity and access are two of the big themes on our text line, as you mentioned, Craig. Meg says, My mum has a package but is continually cancelled or changed due to staff shortages. The service is substandard, undermining her confidence and sense of agency. And that's what Leslie was talking about too, dignity and respect and that sense of control. This one, I cared for mum with vascular dementia. Level 4 is only 12 hours a week. Mum could never be alone. One shower is $1 and $60. I was on the verge of a physical breakdown, says our texter. I got emergency extra 3 hours a week, but the solution was employing privately, $30 an hour and the same person for that continuity. Staff varied so much with the package, I felt we lived in a public library. And this one too, I'm 74 with complex health conditions, living on an age pension in public housing. I still drive and shop and generally manage, but I'm struggling with some things now. But what's on offer through my home care doesn't meet my needs. They don't dust, but I'm drowning in dust. There's dust monsters growing under my bed and they don't move furniture. And I need someone to come in for a few hours once a month to help with my heavier garden chores, but there's only a team who come once a year to blitz. So as you said, Craig, it's about looking at that individualised care and finding the balance between an appropriate use of public money and people's needs for that dignity and sense of agency. Let's talk a little in our last few minutes, Craig, about access. People have raised on the text line access in regional areas. What about other issues too across the board, perhaps with communities who might not be as aware of what's available to them?
Yeah, and we're finding that there are pockets where what's termed as a thin market, sometimes it's no market at all. And what is pleasing that there are some models out there where communities are getting together themselves, kind of working out, or how many people do we have in our community who might have some needs, and actually building a model for themselves. But we also want good providers to look at other models as well. And that's one of the other aspects that we're talking to the government about, is how do you supplement those areas where the cost of delivery might be a bit higher because of there's not lots of people in that area. But every older Australian deserves to have care and support in their home. So we need to build a model and have a workforce there and think outside the box. Maybe it is the local pub who has a cleaner who can come and do a few hours as part of a program. Maybe it is family and friends or other people that can get skilled up in the community and have a job creation program that is also about delivering care and support to people with disability and also people receiving home care and aged care as well. So those sorts of models is something that we need to sort of look at the local community, plan locally, engage with the community, see what their needs are. Because we think that all older Australians should have access to these sorts of supports.
Well, yes, and as you say, it makes much better economic sense as well as humanity sense to have people able to stay in their own homes. Some interesting texts on the use and misuse of public funds. Surely pest control and air conditioning is part of your general home maintenance and you should pay yourself. That's in response to Leslie's call for those to be included. And another says, my mother offered to give me her air fryer, which she had purchased with her package because it was too small. small and she was going to buy a bigger air fryer on her package. I didn't think that was appropriate. The new guidelines meant she couldn't buy an air fryer again. So there's some interesting examples. Craig, just very quickly, what would you like to see happen between now and July next year when the new at-home support package gets rolled out?
One of the big things, I think, is engaging, listening to people like Leslie. And we do have committees and pathways in to talk to the government about that, because we need to make sure that these programs are designed around the needs of older people. There's also obviously the need to have the appropriate accountability in the system. We want it to be sustainable. We want to be able to get out to regional areas. So I want to see that we do some planning around the workforce as well, that we recognise that Leslie talked about, this is relationship-based care. This is about one-on-one connecting with people and making sure that they've got the supports they need. We just don't want to see anyone fall through the gaps as well. So planning out where there might be gaps and planning for those gaps, making sure that people are getting the care, the right care in the right place at the right time. So we just want to see that coming down to less than 4 weeks and having the right workforce in place to be able to deliver that, I suppose.
Small questions, small ideas.
Small Craig, little bits,
yeah,
yes.
Fingers crossed. Thanks so much for your time today, Craig.
Not a problem. Thanks for having us on.
Pleasure. Craig Gear is the CEO of the Older Persons Advocacy Network, OPAN. And as Craig mentioned, My Aged Care is a great place to start if you're looking for information on how to get started with home care package. You heard too from Leslie Forster, who's been on a package herself for the last few years, managing it herself.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.